That was a blessing. Boy, I really enjoyed those specials. The choir, both of those were excellent. My, oh my, I think we're going to have you at our church next week, so get on the road, amen? You know what? Almost better than the choir. You know, isn't that amazing? As soon as it starts preaching time, the judges just walk out. That shows a lot of spirituality right there. I'll tell you what. But, you know, I'm almost better than the choir. Have you been watching these choir directors? I wish I had them on video. Why, oh my. Man, they put so much expression into it. That's excellent. Excellent. I'll tell you, forget the choir. Let's look at the choir director. And, but no, it was very, very good. Appreciate that. They like their choir director too, I guess. Anyway. Hey, before I get running, Brother Bragg, what he said a few moments ago, young people, I know that what he said might go in one or not the other, but I'm telling you, what he said is so true. We had two seniors this year mess up, and they were our, almost really our best. I mean, it sounds terrible. We had two seniors graduate. I took them to Providence the end of March, this last March, I guess, been a year ago. And our seniors there, I think had five or six seniors with me. I took them to Providence, and they got to see the college and everything. And three of them were scheduled to go to Providence this year. And the 2 weeks before they were to leave for Providence, which we did not know, they were communicating back and forth. Another sad scenario, one of them was from a one-parent home. I really think that had a lot to do with it. But he got a taxi, went and picked her up, ran off together. And really, to be honest with you, they just ruined their future. She's pregnant now. The good news is they were gone for 3 months, and they got married, but praise the Lord, they came back. And so they're rebuilding their life. But I want to tell you something. They're, you know, apologizing to the church for their wrongdoing and sorry for what they did is not going to change their future now. Future's done, all right? The two of them could have really done a lot more than that. God uses anybody, and he forgives all sin. But young people, where you're at right now, you say it couldn't happen to you. I'm telling you, good teenagers mess up. And you say, well, Pastor Hanks, it must have been very good teenagers if they messed up. They have flesh to deal with just like you have flesh to deal with. And so, again, what Brother Bragg said a few moments ago is so, so true. Listen, let me give you one piece of humor, and I'm going to run. Brother Angel, he used to. I know he doesn't anymore. Brother Angel's starting now. He don't even read his humor. He is hilarious. He was in Texas a couple weeks ago, and I'll tell you what. He had them rolling last week. But I'm not that way. I have to read my humor, so you have to bear with me here. A pretty little girl named Susie was standing on the sidewalk in front of her home. Next to her was a basket containing a number of tiny little creatures. They were kittens, and the sign said, "Free kittens." Suddenly, a line of big black cars pulled up beside her. Out of the lead car stepped a tall, grinning man. "Hi there, little girl. I'm a President Obama." "What do you have in the basket?" he asked. She said, "Kittens." "How old are they?" asked Obama. Susie replied, "They're so young, their eyes aren't even open yet." "And what kind are they?" asked Obama. She said, "Democrats," with a smile. Obama was delighted. As soon as he returned to his car, he called his PR chief and told him about the little girl and the kittens. Recognizing the perfect photo op, the two men agreed that the president should return the next day, and in front of the assembled media, have the little girl talk about her discerning kittens. So the next day, Susie was again standing on the sidewalk with her baskets of free kittens, when another motorcade pulled up, this time followed by a van full of ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN. Cameras and audio equipment were quickly set up. Then Obama got out of his limo and walked over to little Susie. "Hello again," he said. "I'd love if you would tell all of my friends out there what kind of kittens you're giving away." "Yes, sir," Susie replied. "They're Republicans." Taken by surprise, President Obama stammered, but yesterday you told me they were Democrats." Little Susie smiled and said, "I know, but today they have their eyes open." Oh, goodness gracious. Let me do one more. I'll get to preaching here in a second. A man died and went to heaven. As he stood in front of St. Peter, the pearly gates, he saw a huge wall of clocks behind him. He asked, "What are all those clocks?" St. Peter answered, "Those are lie clocks." He said, "Everyone on earth has a lie clock. Every time you tell a lie, the hands on your clock will move." "Oh," said the man, "whose clock is that?" He said, "Well, that's Mother Teresa's clock. They've never moved," indicating she'd never told a lie. "Incredible," said the man. "And whose clock is that one?" St. Peter responded, "That's Abraham Lincoln's clock. The hands have moved twice, telling us that Abe only told two lies in his entire life." "Where's Obama's clock?" asked the man. "Obama's clock is in Jesus' office. He's using it as a ceiling fan." I really shouldn't do that, by the way. But anyway, I can't help it. Judges chapter 16 this morning. Judges chapter 16. I want to preach a message to you. You know, it was interesting because the message that I thought the Lord was going to have me preach this morning was where to plant yourself. It was a very interesting story in the Old Testament about the tabernacle and how each of the groups parked around the tabernacle. And there's three things mentioned about those who parked themselves around the tabernacle. They were always by their standard. They were always by their father's house. And let's see here. They were around the tabernacle, I think. But there were three unique things. When I got looking at the message, it was the same message I preached last night, because all three had to do with your Bible, your parents, and your church. And so I decided, instead of preaching that same thought again, the Lord allowed us to go a different direction. I want to talk about Samson for just a few moments. And again, very familiar Bible story. And if you have your Bible there, Judges chapter 16, I want to read verses 16 through 22. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read these few verses together. Judges 16, verses 16 through 22. Now, again, this is the Christian school convention, so most of you are not novices concerning the stories in the Bible, specifically Samson. And so I'm not going to read the whole story. I just want to read the small portion of it. Verse 16 says, "And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak." And I'll preach on this phrase right here. "And be like any other man." And be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Young people, I want to talk to you for a few moments on how not to be like any other man. Listen, you did not come to this convention so that you could compete with one another so you could lose. Am I right? You came to this convention in all these different categories. They walked me through some of the different places. They walked me through the art room. They walked me through the room that had the photography in it. They walked me through the room that had some quilts and some sewing. They walked me through the baked goods. But when I walked in there, man, you can really smell those. And some of the judges were already offering me to be able to try some of those. And I didn't get to yesterday, but I might go through that bake room again, that's for sure. But the idea was, you went to all that work so that you could win. Nobody comes into the competition saying, "Boy, I hope I lose." All right? If you do, if you're thinking that way, you have other problems in life. All right? Your idea is to win. You know why? Because you want to be the best. How many of you fellas play basketball? Any of you guys play basketball? All right? I mean, if you play sports, you don't go into a game hoping that you'll lose. Even if you think you're going to lose, you don't tell people that. Am I right? I mean, you don't go in, I don't care if the team's bigger than you are or not, you don't go in to play that game and say, "Well, we're going to get beat again." I mean, you surely don't do that around your coach, all right? I mean, when you go into a game, you don't care if they're 10 feet tall. You say to yourself, "We're going to do the best we can. I want to tell them we're going to beat these guys." Now, you're not going to, but you're going to try, all right? Nobody goes in to be the loser. Everybody goes in to be the winner. And in the statement that's mentioned in this passage here, it says that he was like, Samson made the statement. He said, "I will be like any other man." Now, I want to tell you something. The day that we're living, a lot of people are very lackadaisical in their Christian life. You're not lackadaisical about your competition. Did you notice how all the choirs came up? Boy, they came up, they had right in step, you know, turning at the right time, you know, getting everybody to sit down at the right time. They had everything. Why? Because they want to win. Now, listen, if you can be a step above the rest in a competition that's called Pilate's Convention, why can't we live our Christian life like that? All right, let's pray. Again, think that, with that thought in mind, ask the Lord to help you this morning. Dear God in heaven, they have some competition today. I ask you to please help them to do well in it. Lord, this hour was set aside for preaching before the day really gets running with all the competition. I ask you to please help it be very profitable, help some decisions to be made. Lord, help them all their days, all their life, beginning now. Lord, may they strive not to be like any other man. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. I give us the power of the Holy Spirit. We again ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for doing that. Samson was a very unique character in that he was not like any other man. Samson, we read about him, that the Bible says that he would the Lord blessed him as a child. We find out that, can you imagine Samson taking 300 foxes and tying them tail to tail and putting a firebrand in them before they ran? I mean, that was an unusual man. Can you see Samson as he takes that lion and he rents the lion in two? Can you see Samson as he comes out of Gaza and he takes the bars of the gate and picks it up with the post and all, puts it on his back and walks up the top of the hill Hebron? I mean, he was a very unusual man. I mean, what man could pick up the jawbone of an ass and kill 1,000 Philistines? I mean, he was different. I think it was unique that the Philistines did not just want to kill him. Because you think about it, when they went to Delilah, they said, Delilah, we want to know the secret of his strength. We don't want to just kill him. I mean, how many times did Delilah say, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee? And the Bible says that they were in the chamber. They could have killed Samson while he was sleeping. You know what? They wanted to find out what made him different. They wanted to find out what made him a step above the rest. They were not so interested about just killing him as much as they were interested about finding out the secret of his strength. Now, he was different, and God allowed him to be different. But church, young people, I want you to understand that God wants you to be different also. You should not just want to be a cookie-cutter Christian. We as administration, as your pastors and teachers, we have to have, if I can say that, cookie-cutter mentality because of having a group setting. But can I tell you something? We don't want just everybody just to be the same. We want somebody to have something inside of them to say, listen, I want to do something more for God. I don't want to be just like everybody else. Hey, girls, I hate to tell you this. Everybody can put a dress on. But it's not... No, not everybody. If you're a female, you can put a dress on. We had a fellow come to our church one time in a dress. It was bad. It was really bad. It walked in with three other fellows. She had a dress on, had makeup on. I'm sorry, he had a dress on, had makeup on. Kind of short hair, had earrings. But you knew something was not quite right, but we couldn't figure out what was not quite right. So they sat to the Sunday school hour, and of course some of the folks came and asked me, is there something not quite right about that thing? And I said, I don't know. I can't tell. So I didn't do anything with it. And lo and behold, the thing went into the girls' bathroom. One of the deacons came up and was really upset about the whole situation. And I said, listen, is that a man or a woman? I said, well, go ask it. So, and of course, the deacon was already mad. So he walked right up to it and said, are you a man or a woman? And it said, I don't think it really matters. That was the wrong answer to tell our deacon. And he said, well, it really matters around here. And of course, he was not as kind. And they walked him on out and left. And when he talked about Lawrence being that kind of area, I'm telling you, it is that kind of area. Last month, we went to a transgender. I'll get right back to the message here. I'm going to come back to you girls wearing dresses. We went to the transgenders in our town. Was trying to get the town to give them more rights by giving them certain regulations. And so all these transgenders from everywhere showed up in this meeting. And looked like a woman. And she really looked like a woman. Had dressed down, conservative woman, dressed down past the calf. I mean, she had her hair fixed and everything. And it comes up to the microphone, and all of a sudden it says, I'd like to tell you what we're doing. Oh, it was sad. It was really sad. Now, not anybody should be wearing a dress, okay? Let me go back up here. But you ladies, we can throw a dress on you, or you can put a dress on, and we can make you all look the same. But I'm going to tell you something, you're all not the same. You're not the same. Because what's going on in the inside is really what makes a person different from the next person. We can make that cookie cutter. We make you fix your hair. We make you make sure that you're dressed modestly and appropriately. But I want to tell you something, same way with the fellas. We can get your hair cut short. We can put a tie up on you. But the fact is you're all not the same. And what shows that you're not the same is time. As soon as you get done with school, depending on what you're going to do next in life and who you hang around. Listen, I don't know any of you, but if I was around here a very short amount of time, I can figure out who the rebels are and who are not the rebels by what kind of people are associating together. It's amazing how a person can walk into a room like this from a completely different school and you know exactly what people to associate with. As in water, face answereth the face of the heart of man to man, you have a tendency to draw to people who what you are. Now, I want you to understand, young person, that if you are living the Christian life and you want to live for God, you ought to take it up a notch. You ought to continue to try to be more for God. Now, I want to look at Samson's life. I want to just point out three things to you. But I want you to look at Samson's life. And in Samson's statement, he says, I shall be like any other man. Now, there's three things about Samson's life that made him so that he was not like any other man. And it's the same three things that if we have in our life, we will not be like any other man. Now, God wants us to be different.
How many of you young people play volleyball? Any of you play volleyball? All right. How many's ever had a pickup game of volleyball? You ever play pickup? How many's ever had a pickup game of basketball? How many of you don't do anything in life? All right. How many's ever played sports before? Okay. How many's retarded? Okay. Son, that was not the question to raise your hand on. Okay. Are you guys all from the same place? What church are you from? Southside. Okay. The next time, I guess that's what I thought. All right. Now, you fellas here, we're going to have a game. All right. We're going to play a game of basketball. And you look intelligent. Come up here for a second here. Looks can be deceiving, but come over here. And so we decide that we're going to pick from these guys for a game of basketball. All right. Would you all stand? Man alive. All right. I get first pick. All right. I take him. All right. Come over here. You get next pick. Now, do you know these guys?
Yes.
Okay. We're in trouble. I'll take you. I bet pick. Okay, go ahead.
Gilbert.
He must know who you're picking. All right, I'll take you. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't want you. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Now, here's what I want to do, all right? Now, this is the guy I need. Now, the rest of you guys can sit down. All right, thank you very much. Come over here for a second here. What's your name?
Brian.
Don't. Aw, he's okay. Do you play basketball, Brian?
No.
No. He didn't even have to think about it. Now, young people, I want to tell you something. Nobody likes to be the last pick. Now, obviously, Brian has other talents in basketball. Nothing wrong with that. Ryan? Thank you very much. Don't correct me when I'm preaching, okay? Now, Ryan, he's the last pick. And again, I don't know my pick, and I don't know who I was picking. But in a sense, if there was people who knew the team, the person who's the last pick is the person not going to be the best in that particular sport. Are we all on the same page now? No. Thank you very much, Ryan. Now, here's what I want you to think about. When it comes to sports, the person that's picked first is the person whose choice or the person who's the best pick. I got a question. What about if God's picking a team right now? Now, he's not looking for ability here concerning sports. He's looking for spirituality. Now, if God was picking the team and we're looking across God sees you from the heart. He's going to pick, okay, I'm going to use you for this. I'm going to use you for this. I'm going to use you for this. And you know what? You ought to want to be the best pick. And you can say all you want. Well, we're all Christians here, so it doesn't matter what level we're on. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what level you're on. Because I want to tell you something. God wants to use people who love him and surrendered, not just from the outside, but from the inside. How many young people have sat through a service and your mind is on completely something else and it's not on the church service? There's some of you here right now, by the way, doing the same thing. In other words, the eyes are open, but the lights are off.
Yeah.
You know, many of you, some of you might be thinking about your competition later. You might be thinking about maybe you didn't get breakfast this morning. I don't know. But you know, God sees what's going on in your heart and mind. And I want to tell you, you ought not want to be like everybody else. There ought to be something inside of you that says, hey, listen, I want to take this thing a step farther. I want to be the best that I possibly can be. When you play a game of sports, you practice and practice and practice so that you can be the best in your sport. Listen, you didn't come to this competition without practicing. They said they're going to do archery. How many of you guys do an archery? Would you stand up for a second here? Have you ever used a bow and arrow? This guy here needs help. Now, is there any of you guys that have not used a bow and arrow? I take it you've done it at least a couple times. Now, you know who's probably going to win today? The person who practiced the most. Think it'll be you? Why did you join the archery if you don't think it's going to be you? Does that make sense? If I'm going to participate, I'm going to try to win, right? Right? So if I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to try to be the best Christian possible, right? All right? Put your hands down. I mean, you see it, I'm sorry. You can put your hand down, too, if you'd like. Let me give you these 3 points and we'll be done. I want you to look at the first one. Look at verse number 17. In Judges 16, verse 17, it says this. That he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been what's the next word? Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. Listen, what made him not like any other man, number one, is because he was separated. That word Nazarite actually means to be separate. It's very interesting. Turn quickly. Again, I'm going to hurry this morning. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 6. This chapter is about the Nazarite. I'm going to read it. I just want to point out something to you. Numbers in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 6. Look at verse number 2 with me. Verse number 2 says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall," what's the word? "Separate themselves," to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to," what's the next word? "Separate themselves unto the Lord." Verse number 3, "He shall," what's the next word? Verse number 4, "All the days of his," what? "Separation." Verse 5, "All the days of the vow of his," what? Now, if we took the time, you'll find out the word "separate" or "separation" is mentioned 16 times in this one chapter. You know what it's talking about? Some of the Nazarite. The whole chapter is. Did you know what made Samson different from everybody else? And what made him different is that he was separate from everybody else because of being a Nazarite. And not only separated from something, but separated to something, which means he was separated to God. Young people, I want to tell you something. If you don't want to be like everybody else when it comes to Christianity, it's going to take some separation. You know, it's interesting that word "separate" means to part or disconnect. You know, if I was to take this, since you're such a big help, come here for a second, please. Why don't you hold that banana for me? Thank you. Stand over here, please. Can you hold it out? I'm going to cut it. Thank you very much. I'd watch your fingers if I were you. All right? I've never done this before. Now, you see that banana? Hold it out so they can see it. Thank you very much. I'll tell you what. Hold it right here. No, I'm just joking. I'm going to separate this banana. That's pretty good. Put it back up there. How good are you at archery? Can you do it without fingers? You're getting a little nervous. Can you hold that? Pick up the banana, please. Now, the banana has been separated. Should we try the apple next? Now, on the archery, I was going to do it the right way. Thank you. Maybe see it. Now, young people, I want to tell you something. Just as you separate, we cut this thing and we disconnect. That's what's going to make you different. That's what's going to make you not like every other person. You know, the cookie-cutter Christianity, where you've got your dress on, you've got your hair cut short, there's a big difference between a young person who's in Christianity that's still separate. There's a big difference. And it's not that you're too good for everybody else. It's that you love God. Can I tell you something? Every Christian that so, quote-unquote, dresses right does not necessarily love God. There's a big, big difference between a person who loves God and a person who's just dressing because they're in the atmosphere or dressing because that's the rules. And, you know, can I tell you that what's going to make you different from everybody else is this area of separation. What made Samson different? And his strength might have been part of it. And we're going to explain that in a minute. But the biggest thing about him was he was a Nazarite to God from the time he was a child to the age that he died. He was a Nazarite. He was completely separate unto God. And we as Christians need to be separate from the world. Listen, the things that are going on. I told you about last night about that young lady. She said, "Listen, I'm tired of it. Talking about Christianity. Talking about the rules. Talking about standards." Do you understand that the rules and separation is just to keep us separate? That's all it's supposed to do. It's to keep us separate from the things that are worldly and ungodly. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. God says that we're supposed to be separate from this world's philosophies and ideals. We're supposed to be separate from sin, Romans 6 and Romans 8. God wants us to separate from what our flesh wants to do and what we should do. That's what makes us different. Of course, Jesus, separation is not a bad thing. Brother Angel, when we were in Texas, preached his famous message on snake bite. Talked about the hedge and how Christian ought to stay in the hedge. And oftentimes we look at the rules from mom and dad and some teachers and that as a bad thing, but that's what keeps us inside the hedge. Now that separation is, if I can say, mandated while you're in school and while you're at home, but one day it's not going to be mandated. In other words, the freedom that you wish and desire is eventually going to come. And that, tell you something, with that freedom, you still have to keep some type of hedge up for your own protection. Why are so many people getting in trouble? Because of what they see and hear. And so what happens is, a young person, we say you can't be on the internet without somebody with you. Or we say, listen, you're not going to watch particular television shows, or you're not going to watch television at all, or we're going to put you around the right kind of friends. What we're doing is we are the ones guarding your eyes and ears by giving you rules and regulations. In other words, we are separating you. But I want to tell you something. What happens when the day comes when somebody doesn't separate you? What happens the day that you have to make the decision on your own? The day's going to come. As a young person, I remember the time getting into a car with a bunch of fellas, and we had one of the ladies from our church, and the lady from our church, her husband was not saved. And she walked into the bank, and inside the ashtray were cigarettes from her husband, not her, but from her husband. And in those days, they had those bench seats, not necessarily bucket seats. And so she had gotten out. One of the teenagers was in the middle, and I was in the front seat on the right-hand side. He opened up that ashtray and pulled out a used cigarette and relit it and smoked it. And then he reached over to hand it to me and said, "Hey, listen, try this." That's the first time in my life I ever had been that close to a cigarette that was lit, and somebody was offering me a smoke. Now, there's a decision had to be made. I'm either smoking or not smoking. I didn't that day, and still I've never smoked. But I want to tell you something. The day's going to come for you. Now, right now, they've kept you in the atmosphere. They've told you what to wear. They told you where to go. They told you what you can say. They told you who you can be around with. But I want to tell you something. It will not always be that way. And there needs to be some separation made if you're going to not be like every other person. Young people can say the host of young people like to be part of the crowd. They just want to do what everybody else is doing. They don't want to feel like an exception. They don't want to feel like they're ostracized from everybody else. But you know what makes you different? Your separation. Your separation. Girls, you don't think you're different when you go into a mall or to a grocery store and you walk in with a dress and almost every other woman that's in there is in a pair of britches? You don't think that separates you? Do you know why young people, one of the first things they drop is their dress standards when they get out of Christianity? You know, I'll tell you why. Because they don't want to be separate. They don't want to be separate. What made Samson not like any other man is because he had a separation. He said, listen, the difference is I'm a Nazarite unto God, and I'm not supposed to be drinking alcohol. I'm not supposed to be touching fruit of the vine. I'm not supposed to be touching dead carcasses. There were a lot of things that he was not supposed to, rules. But those rules is what made him separate unto God. And I want to teach them, there needs to be a disconnect from the world and a connection with God. And when he finally told about his Nazarite vow, the strength was not in his hair. The strength was in the vow of being a Nazarite. When his hair was cut, it broke that Nazarite vow. It broke his separation from something to something, which was God. And I want to teach them, you're going to have to make some decisions on whether or not you're going to be separate or not. And it won't be based upon what mom and dad or teacher says. It's your own. Hey, young people, let's face the facts. Come on, let's not be naive here. There's things that you can do that your mom and dads don't know about. Watch me this morning. I won't be long. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot that you can get away with that your mom and dad... when you have conversations that you know are not appropriate, you can have those conversations. Your mom and dad will never know about it. In our cell phone day, which has been a real killer, you can talk to a host of people. And young people, I'll tell you, it really baffles my mind how we won't let you as a young person get on the internet, but we'll give you a cell phone so you can talk to anybody you want to. We don't want you on a chat room on the internet, but it's okay to be on a chat room on a cell phone. Okay, that doesn't make sense. But I'm going to tell you something, regardless if you have a cell phone or not, there needs to be a little bit of separation. A separate thing, listen, I'm not going to make these phone calls. I'm not going to allow people to come to call me. I'm not going to talk to people without mom and dad. A lot of conversation happens on a text message or a cell phone. But I want to tell you something. If your mom and dad have not pulled the restraint in on a cell phone, you pull them in. You pull them in. Now, I want to tell you something. If you want to be like everybody else, just keep doing what you're doing. Don't separate. But separation is what makes us different, and it makes us not like any other man. Number two, think about this. Not only was that area of separation, but his area of his strength. In that same verse, in verse number 17, let me read it again. It says that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Listen, if you don't want to be like any other man, you need to be separated. Number two, you need to be strong. He says in that phrase, the last phrase, he says, I shall become weak. I shall become weak. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. 1 Corinthians 16:3, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men and be strong. God wants us to be strong. Now, Samson's weakness was physical, but our weakness is spiritual. Turn quickly over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 13. Hebrews 5, look at verse 13 and verse 13 and 14. It says, but everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to him that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses, what's the next word? Exercise to discern both good and evil. Exercise. Listen, to be strong in the Lord is going to take spiritual exercise, talking about this food as far as reading God's word on a regular basis and spending time in God's word. You know, when you guys at your age... being fit and trim is an easier thing than when you get older, all right? Amen is right. You know, it's nice to say, I was trying to think how close I should get to home here. The young people that didn't make it to Providence Baptist College, they're back in our church now. I don't have anybody from our church here, so I don't think it'll matter. But they're doing very, very well. We're back in church, she's expecting, there were young people. But I'll never forget that young man was one of the best basketball players we had in our school, and he always fit and trim. I mean, just strong young man. And now he's married, and he's starting to put pounds on. And his dad's bald, so it won't be long, you know, he'll start losing some hair too. Young people, at your age right now, you know, everything just seems like you don't have to take much exercise, you know. You can eat like a horse and not gain a pound, okay? It won't always be that way. All right. You know what's going to happen one of these days? Exercise right now is fun for you because you enjoy sports and things of that sort. But exercise does not get so much fun as you get older. All right. And I want to tell you something. To maintain your shape is going to take exercise. I don't know if it's Brother Angel or not because I really enjoy his preaching. But I think it's Brother Angel that said this. He says, you girls that have that Coke bottle figure one day will look like a 2-liter. I tell you, it's the truth. You know, you girls that marry that fella because, you know, he's the hunk is one day going to become the chunk. And it's just part of life. His hair is either going to turn gray or it's going to turn loose. Okay, there's just a host of things that go along with getting older. And so what happens is at your age right now, you get to eat, you get to enjoy life, and your metabolism is really flowing. And so you don't gain weight very, very fast. I want to tell you something, the day is going to come. It's going to take exercise to get it off. And you know what happens in the Christian life? It's the same way. That just as it takes exercise to maintain physical health, it takes exercise to maintain spiritual health. You said, you cannot go without a day without reading your Bible, spending time in prayer. That's what we talked about last night. You've got to set a time in order to get yourself out of bed to read your Bible. It was Brother Angel who said that a Christian who's going to war does not put his armor on before he goes to bed. He puts his armor on when he gets up in the morning. And every Christian needs to spend time in God's Word on a regular basis. You know, it amazes me that as a young person that mommy still has to get most of you all up. It's a fact of life. Mommy has to come in and say, Susie, time to get up. And she has to say that 15 times. Johnny, poopsie whoopsie, Johnny, it's time to get up and you're 16 years old. Now, if you're in 7th grade and up in here, there's no reason why you can't get yourself an alarm clock, get yourself out of bed. Somebody should not have to. Listen, you all stayed in the hotel together. There is no doubt there were some people in your hotel room it took a lot to get them up this morning.
Ouch.
Go ahead, look around. It's okay. Pinpoint them, amen? Yeah. You know why? Because you thought you needed your beauty sleep more than you needed God this morning. I'm going to tell you something. Your walk with God will be the most important thing of your entire life. Young person, if you're not going to be like every other man, it's going to take exercise, and that exercise is spiritual exercise. It comes from the Word of God. Now, if you want to be just like everybody else, keep sleeping in. I mentioned last night about college. He was asking about our little college a few minutes ago, Brother Hanson was. It's really small. I've got 12. I can't really do much, probably much more than that. It's because they travel. When I go places, they travel. I didn't bring them this to the teen convention. Next week, I'll preach a revival in Arkansas. I'll take all 12 of them, 10 of the 12 with me. And they'll stay in a hotel with me. I teach them about how they should take care of themselves in a hotel. You know, when I got up this morning, I'm in a hotel room. I made my bed this morning. There's never been a time I go to a hotel room I don't make my bed. And I'm going to tell you something. It amazes me. Young people don't make their bed. I was at a meeting. It was in Texas. That's what it was. This couple weeks ago, I was in Texas. And I said, okay, I want everybody. I said, this is a church. You better not lie. I said, if you lie, God's going to get you. I said, if you didn't make your bed this morning, stand up. This was during the evening church service. And I only did it with teenagers. I wouldn't embarrass an adult. But I would do it for a teenager in a heartbeat. And so all the teenagers stood up in the church service. And there was a bunch of them that didn't make their bed. Now, you're at a hotel, and most of you probably have a sleeping bag. So it would not be a fair question because you're not at home. But really the question is, how many left your house without your bed made? Now, I'm not going to ask that question because I think too many of you would lie. But I pulled one of the guys out of the crowd and pulled him up. And I said, the rest of you can sit down. Oh, he was. And you know what? It's amazing. The next day, he made his bed. And the next day after that. And so we were communicating. But you know what? Here's the thing. That young man that didn't make his bed, that one small error of not making your bed is just a character flaw that really magnifies throughout the rest of your life. Young people, can I tell you something? If you left your room at home and you left clothes on the floor, you left your desk a mess, you left your bed unmade, I want to tell you something. You might have your tie fixed right now, and you got your hair combed. I want to tell you something. You've got some major character flaws if you can't keep your room clean. He said, Pastor, he says, just cleaning the room. I want to tell you something. That trickles over to almost every area of your life. We've got young people. I've had to get our young people don't take a bath on a regular basis. Can I tell you, you're supposed to take a bath every day? Now, I don't know if that's news to some of you, but you're supposed to take a bath every day. I mean, you shouldn't go to a conference like this and all the guys have to throw you in the shower because you haven't taken one for a week. Now, you say, Pastor, that's just a small area about not taking your bath. I want to tell you something. The physical always trickles over to the spiritual. And the spiritual always trickles over to the physical. I've got news for you. If you can't keep your room clean, you can't take a bath on a regular basis, you're probably not reading your Bible on a regular basis. You know why? Because if you can't have care to take care of something small like making your bed, then you're probably not taking care of reading your Bible on a regular basis. Now, well, wait a second here. If you want to be just like everybody else, don't make your bed. Don't clean your room. Don't worry about personal hygiene. But I want to tell you something. You always reap what you sow. If you're a bum, you're going to marry a bum. That's right. Fellas, if you think that you can just throw your dirty clothes on the floor and let mommy continue to take care of you, you're going to marry somebody that's going to take mom's place, you're in for a rude awakening. You know what's going to happen? You're going to marry a girl that can't take care of herself either. And then it's not just going to be your clothes on the floor, it's going to be her clothes on the floor. And you're going to be going over piles to get to the bed at night.
Won't happen to me. I'm going to pick that one that is a clean freak.
Let me say, you pick a clean freak, she's going to have sense not to marry you. Now, what I'm trying to say is this thing about being strong in the Lord, what makes you different than every other person, is this area of your own personal devotions. You ought to do your best to be strong in the Lord by having regular exercise on the Word of God on a regular basis. Listen, you ought to read your Bible. And I think you ought to read your Bible through every year, personally. And maybe you might read it more than that. But there needs to be some type of scheduled reading. A person once came to me and said, Pastor, I don't have a scheduled reading. I just read, here and there and there. I have never met a person who just reads there and there that reads on a regular basis. You need to have some format or schedule of reading. Young people, you're in high school right now. Do you understand how busy things are going to get when you get to college? You think things are busy now. What are you going to do when you go to college? If you're not having your devotions now, what do you plan on doing when you start to have bigger assignments and more term papers and a whole lot more responsibility and having to work, et cetera, et cetera? When do you plan on having your devotions? The question is what's a priority in your life? Hey, listen, if you want to be like everybody else, don't worry about that book. Just act like you're a Christian in the atmosphere. But I want to tell you something. The person that God's going to pick and choose is the person who's having a regular walk with God. That's the one that God's going to pick out from a bunch. Hey, wait a second here. You might look like everybody else because everybody's wearing a dress if you're a female and everybody's got their hair cut short if you're a fella. Hey, you might look like, but can I say something? The person God chooses is the person who walks with Him, the person who seeks Him. So I'll tell you something. If you don't want to be like everybody else, then number one, be separate. You know, when I was growing up, my dad had a television at home. And so I grew up with television. And I remember as a high schooler, there were many a times Dad would be gone and my brothers and sisters would be at home. There'd be many times I'd come home from school and I couldn't do my work there at the living room. I'd have to go down to my room because you know why? Because I knew television wasn't good for me. I had to make a choice. I didn't always make the right choice, but there were several times. When I got married, my wife and I have been married 20 years now. When we got married, I told my wife, I said, listen, I grew up with television. It's a very strong pull for me. The best thing for us is not to have one. We agreed not to have one. So we have not had a television for 20 years in our home. Now, watch for a second here. It doesn't make me better than anybody else. It just means I'm weak in that area. When I go to the hospital to see somebody that's laying there in bed, and television is such a pull for me, because movement, no thinking, relaxation. You know, it's nothing for me to go see somebody in the hospital. The person's laying there in bed, and the television will be on, and I'm sitting there talking to them. How you doing? Feeling any better? Well, we're praying for you. You know why? Because I have a pull for that. I would enjoy not just to think. I would enjoy just turning on something and just letting it feed my mind. But, you know, I had to make a choice sometime in my life that I know that that hurts me. And I had to decide I'm not going to have a television in my home for that very, very purpose. Can I tell you something, young person? At your age, you have had rules and regulations set for you, but there's a lot of areas in your life that you need to make a personal choice. And that personal choice is, I'm going to separate from this, this, or this. Why? Because I don't want to be like everybody else. I'm going to make sure I have my devotions on a regular basis so that I can be strong so I don't have to be like everybody else. You came to this competition so that you would not be like everybody else. So why not live your life in that same mentality that I want to be? And it's not a matter of comparing with so-and-so or trying to be better than so-and-so. It's trying to say, I'm not going to be like the status quo.
Yeah.
So number one, be separated. Number two, be strong. Last one I want you to think about is this. It's mentioned here several times on this last one. Look at verse number 20 again. And she said, the Philistines... She said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go on as at other times before the before and shake myself. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. Young people, because of time, I've got to bring it to a cold close because you guys have your competition. I've preached longer than I probably normally do and probably should. The last thing is this, is if you want to be different than everybody else, you've got to be Spirit-filled. Now, five times in this passage, about starting from when he was a child, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. When he rent the lion, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. When he picked up the jawbone of the ass, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Jawbone of the ass and killed 1,000 Philistines, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now, young people, it's very, very simple. If you're going to be different than everybody else, you've got to be a Spirit-filled Christian. Hey, young person, I don't care who you are. There's two things that will change a person. That's salvation and the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, there's definitely a distinction because the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of you. But when you start to be filled with the Spirit and living in the Spirit, you're going to act differently, do differently, talk differently, and be differently. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit has control of your life. It's not you any longer. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. My favorite story of Galatians chapter 5 is the story of the two dogs. You've heard it 100 times, but the story of the two dogs was the Indian that came down to the market. He brought his two dogs down, and all the Indians would gather together to gamble on those two dogs. And every week, the person who owned the dogs won. He bet on black dog would win. He bet on white dog would win. Every week. Finally, the Indians came to him and said, hey, listen, how come you bet on black dog wins, you bet on white dog wins, you know every week which dog's going to win? He said, ugh, that's easy. Me want black dog to win. Me feed black dog all week long, starve white dog. Me want white dog to win. Me feed white dog all week long, starve black dog. Now, young person, I'm going to tell you something. The Christian life is really simple. Ugh, that's easy. Me feed my spirit all week long, starve my flesh, spirit has control. Me feed my flesh all week long, starve my flesh has control. The young lady, 22, 23 years old, came into my office. Pastor Hanks, you've never smoked a cigarette day in your life. I cannot give up these cigarettes. I said, yes, you can. Ugh, that's easy. Listen, you feed your spirit by what you see and hear. The question is, do you want to be different or do you want to be like everybody else? The question is, do you want to win or be second place? Brother Griffin was just a couple years before me, so I don't know that we actually played against each other. He played against my brother. Did we play against each other too? When we played in basketball, you can see the size of Brother Griffin. Back in those days, there were a lot of guys that were his size. In fact, some of you guys that walked up here are pretty good size fellas for high school. It seemed like we had an era of smaller young people. And so there are many times, I came from a Christian school that had, our basketball team had 8 guys on it, 9 guys, and that was the whole high school. And we would play against schools that their basketball team was bigger than our school. They would have 16 to 18 games a year and 4 tournaments a year. I remember when we were in school, they played so many basketball games that we went, and this was years ago, I don't know if you recognize names, but we went from Lowell Baptist Tournament to Hammond Baptist Tournament on the same night. So we played basketball here, drove an hour down and played basketball in another tournament. I mean, they really pushed us. And you know what? Every game we went into, we knew they were bigger, and in the back of our mind, we probably thought they were better. But you know, there was something inside of you that says, this thing's not ending without a fight. And you know, we're living in the Laodicean age, and young people have this mentality of lukewarmness. They come, you know, and
yeah.
finally going to have to come a day in your life where it's not. How many of you guys like to hunt? Raise your hand. Like to hunt? You go out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to hunt deer? You get up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning after you spend all that money on gear, deer scent. Who wants to smell like a deer? You got your gun or bow. You'll stomp your way through 6 feet of snow. Get up in your deer stand. 40 below zero. Waiting for Bambi to come by. Why does a person do that? That's dumb. I'll tell you why. Because they want to. Why does a person spend all that money on the right kind of spikes to go golfing? All those big clubs? So they can take that little white ball, swing at it 15 times, get it to go 100 yards, chase it off into the woods, dig it out of a pond. And then when they get done with all that, they say, boy, wasn't that fun? I always used to say golfing was for old people. I'm starting to like it. Yeah, Bruce, what I'm trying to say is whatever you enjoy in your life, the reason you do it is because you want to. When you get to the place that you enjoy God, that'll be the difference. He loves you so much. Would you go ahead and close your eyes this morning? Young people, today's going to run really fast. I wish that you just keep your mind for just a couple more minutes and maybe make a decision for God and say, Lord, I do want to be different. I don't want to be like everybody else. It's going to take some separation. It's going to take some strength. It's going to take some of the Spirit of God being on your life. You need to make some decisions. What are you going to do differently? Are you going to leave here the same after these few days? You're just going to go back like you were? Would you stand to your feet? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Nobody's watching whether you come to the altar personally. I don't want you to come just to come. I want you to come because the Lord spoke to you. But you ought to come. Use the altar. The piano's just playing. You come. I want to be different. I don't want to be the same. Make your way to the front. Spend some time in prayer. God, I want to be different. I don't want to be like everybody else. Tell God specifically what you need to change. Specifically what you need to change. You have to bow your knee right where you're at. Sorry that you can't get closer this morning. Take some time in prayer this morning. I want to be different. I don't want to be like everybody else. God, I want you to use me. God wants to use you. Are you usable? Have thine own way, and does the Lord have his way in your heart and life? It's not me, it's him. Does he have all of you?